Have you ever been to a Weekend Remember before?
Yes, I've been to one.
I know. I've been to hundreds. I'm talking to our listeners.
I know you are.
Because here's great news. You're going to find a fresh experience this year. New speakers, a revamped guidebook, and everything thoughtfully curated for deeper growth together.
I tell you, it's the perfect opportunity to come back. And now, through September 15th, every event is on sale. In fact, it's the best price you're ever going to get through September 15th. So find a date and location that fits you at familylifetoday.com.
You finish high school, you immediately go to college, you need some sort of really successful degree so that you can get your job, you start working, and you basically set yourself up to be so locked into your job, paying off your debt, that one day, if you get married, which most women do still, they have their first baby and they're going, I don't know what to do. I want to spend more time with my baby, but I can't. No one told me I was going to face this. No one told me this was going to be a tension point in my life. And now my husband are trying to figure out how to make this work.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Dave Wilson.
And I'm Ann Wilson. And you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today. Okay, Kristen Clark, here's my question to start us out.
Yes.
Are we, as women in our culture today, being lied to about what a woman is?
Absolutely. We are.
You say absolutely.
Absolutely. We are being lied to without even realizing it. And I think so on both ends of the spectrum. So it's not just worldly lies that are coming from unbiblical places, but I think in some ways there have been conservative movements saying this is what it means to be a woman. This is what godly womanhood is. But some of those standards from Christian movements aren't even rooted in the word. So we're actually being lied to from both ends of the spectrum, from the world's version of what it means to be a womanhood, totally rejecting God's word, defining things on our own terms, doing things our way. And then in some ways, the church has gotten it wrong as well, saying this is what it means to be a woman. But again, it's not actually rooted in God's word. So it's hard. It's hard to sort through the noise and to get back to God's word and say, what does the Bible actually say it means to be a woman?
That's a bold statement. You just said the church. Ann and I grew up in the 60s and the 70s when there was a feminist movement.
Right.
You know, that you reference in this great book, Made to Be She, Reclaiming God's Plan for Fearless Femininity.
It's a tongue twister.
Femininity.
I know.
It's like fearless femininity. I remember Helen Reddy.
Yes.
That was a big song in my generation. I am woman. Hear me roar, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was like, and so she's sort of grown up in that. You're now a next generation looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
What's the lie been?
So if you ask a woman today, a young woman today, what does it mean to be a feminist? You will get so many answers. Mm. In fact, I share a story in Made to Be She. I was working at this, volunteering at this home for younger women who were getting help. And there was this young 16-year-old girl. And she just looked at me out of the blue and she said, are you a feminist? And I said, well, what do you mean by feminist? And then she said, well, I just mean that I don't need a man and I can do things my way. I'm strong. And so that opened the door for a very interesting conversation with this young woman. And it really got my wheels turning to realize that feminism isn't just this thing that happened. And there were the waves, you know, the first wave, the second wave, the third wave of feminism. We kind of think of it in historical terms, but it is really alive and well in the hearts of young women. Women that are much younger than me in this generation of women who are saying, yeah, I identify as a feminist. And I think for so many of them, what it means is that just like this young woman said, I don't need a man. I can do things my way. I'm strong. I'm independent. I'm capable. You know, some things that I would say, yeah, we need to have some of this independence, this capability, of course. But when you get to the heart of what they're saying, it's really, I'm a woman on my own terms. I will define what it means to be a woman. I'm not looking to men in any way. I'm not looking to God's word in any way. I'm a strong woman because I can define this for myself.
and being the same as a man, being equal, you know, as a man, or even being more powerful, stronger than a man. That's what makes me this liberated woman. So talking to this young woman, I realized like, wow, this is really alive and well. And it got me thinking in my own heart, how have I bought into some of these lies of the feminist movements that have happened? And even though they're not so much happening today, I think it's just the air that we breathe. Feminist movements have left behind this ideology in our churches, in our society, in our culture of what it means to be a woman, and it's not looking to God's word.
What did you discover as you looked into your own life? What were some of the things that you carried that you weren't even aware of?
Oh my goodness. Okay, so I'm married. We've been married for now 14 years. And one of the struggles that I saw as I was really digging into writing about these past movements, because we wanted in our book to unpack what were the movements, how have they impacted our thinking today?
And you and your sister, Bethany, wrote this book.
For me, some of the things that the feminist movements and the ideologies have impacted in my own life as I did some hard examination was, I do have this desire to be fiercely independent from my husband. And when we see in God's word, which we unpack, I don't know if we'll get into the roles topic and the husband and the wife and the distinctions between the man and the woman. But I saw in my own heart this desire to want to push against my husband, push against his leadership, push against his opinions, his thoughts, his ideas, and do things my way.
My wife has
not welcome that.
My wife has none of that. Have you ever felt bad?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
You're describing our marriage right there. And there's some of that that I love about her, the strength.
Right.
But you're right, there can be this real tension.
Right.
Well, and then you think, does that independence just come from personality, or have we been shaped?
Yeah.
And have we been hurt in a way that's made us become more independent because we couldn't depend on a man or a husband? So there's so much even to that.
There's so much in there. And something that I was wrestling with recently was the idea of, and I've never struggled with this, it's so crazy, but my husband is the breadwinner in our family. He always has been. He's been an amazing provider. And recently I have taken some steps back in some of my roles ministry-wise, and so have taken also steps back in pay. And for the first time, I was really wrestling with almost my identity and like, oh, I'm not really bringing in as much as I was financially into our family. Yes, he's the breadwinner. I appreciate that. I'm grateful for his provision, but it was almost this little lie that was creeping into my heart of like, well, you're not as valuable as a woman. Look at you. You're not really contributing financially. And then almost this fear in my heart of like, oh no, like I'm not worth as much. I need to be doing more, even though I know God is calling me to be a full-time mom to three precious kids. We homeschool. Life is very full on that front. It's what I've prayed for years after a decade of infertility. I am so grateful. But that lie just like, boom, hit me out of nowhere. And I really had to fight against that.
I remember being in a doctor's office, and you write about this too, and I had to fill in my occupation.
Yes.
When our kids were all little, and we would speak periodically, but I was mainly a stay-at-home mom. I couldn't put that down.
Right.
And I was so like, why can't I write that? I put like speaker or something.
Yes.
Because of the world says that occupation isn't as worthy as some other field.
And that was one of the huge pushes back when you were younger, right? You talk about 60s, 70s, 80s. That era of the feminist movement was really pushing this idea that what a woman does inside the home is basically worthless and has no value. What she does outside of the home, in the workplace, you know, the feminist movement was really pushing for this idea of equality between men and women, but it wasn't, it was equality on the fronts of financial equality, of role equality, meaning the same. Unless women are making the same amount of money or more as men, unless they are doing the same jobs as men. In fact, there was one quote we write in our book where one feminist said that her goal was for 50% of the jobs to be, or for 100% of the jobs to be 50% employed by women. So women would come in and occupy 50% of the workforce, which means what happens at home. Women are encouraged, not only encouraged, but pushed. We were fed this lie for years that says what you do in the home doesn't matter. Anyone can do that. Anyone can watch your kids. Anyone can cook a meal. You need to get out there and make something happen. You need to be successful. So there was a lot of pressure in that era for women to get out of the home.
You just stepped on a whole bunch of toes.
I know,
okay,
I know.
Because women are like, what? Wait. Because we should have equal pay and we should be in the workforce. But what's at risk? What's at stake?
Right.
And why are we doing it? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I'm getting after this heart of the feminist movement was devaluing the home to say what a woman does in the home has no value. It has no worth because there isn't a paycheck tied to it. And so absolutely women bring so much value in the workforce. And I'm not here saying women shouldn't be in the workforce in any way, shape, or form. In fact, I was in the workforce for many years, not in this professional career capacity, but working full-time ministry outside of the home. But what it really comes down to is us as women recognizing, okay, there are a lot of opinions. There's a lot of noise. There are intentional movements shaping my thoughts about these things. But what does God's word say? What does he value? And does my heart align with his? And that's going to look different for now. Our hearts aligning with God's word is the truth that we're all pursuing, we should be pursuing, but the way that plays out in each of our seasons of life, right? Like Anne, you're in a season where you can do so much outside the home. You don't have kids at home. I've got a 1-year-old, a 15-year-old, 11-year-old. They are needy. These kids need a lot of things.
And Kristen,
so the way I prioritize might look different than the way you do.
There's not one minute now that I look back and regret that I was home. When I started having kids, we had been married 6 years, so we waited a while, and I had that same crisis. It's an identity crisis. Mm-hmm. Who am I apart from what I'm doing? And so it makes you dig down into your identity. Who am I in Christ apart from what I'm doing? Because that's what matters, and you guys talk about that a lot. But, I mean, I was home. And I could be, which was a gift too, because not everyone can financially.
Yes, and we have to acknowledge that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But man, those were precious years. Yeah. It felt like a million years at the time.
The days are slow.
Yes.
The years go fast.
But it flew by, and I'm so glad. I don't have any regrets that I was home.
Yeah, there is this intentional, we call it the funnel for female success. And it's this funnel that young women in particular, they're kind of set on this track without even realizing it today.
Sure.
And it's this track of you finish high school, you immediately go to college, you need some sort of really successful degree so that you can get your job, you get get in debt, you start working, and you basically set yourself up to be so locked into your job, paying off your debt, that one day if you get married, which most women do still, most women still want to have kids, so many young women find themselves in this place in their later 20s, 30s, where they're still paying off debt. They worked hard to earn their degree, understandably. So they're working, they're married, they have their first baby, and they're going, I don't know what to do. I want to spend more time with my baby, but I can't because I need to work. I need to put to use this degree that I've earned or this career path that I'm on. If I step out, I'm going to be way behind, you know, my goals, all these things, and this whole girl boss mentality. And so I'm seeing this tension, and I get emails. We get emails at Girl Defined from women who are saying, I don't know what to do. I'm 30. No one told me I was going to face this. No one told me this was going to be a tension point in my life. And now my husband are trying to figure out how to make this work. I want to spend more time with my baby. Some say, I want to be home altogether. I don't know how to make this work. So something we talk about is young women recognize that there is this funnel for female success, and it's not necessarily rooted in God's word for you to just take a step back and say, God has gifted me in many ways. We, you know, as women, men, we have so many giftings and talents, and there are unique ways God will open doors for us to use them. But for women, we encourage young women to just ask the question, will this path I'm pursuing be hospitable toward the path of marriage and motherhood if God calls me down that one day? So just thinking ahead 5 years, 10 years, if I go down this path, is there going to be this big tension point in my life, this big conflict where now I'm choosing between one or the other? Or is it possible to pursue a path when you're young that sets you up for success? So when you're older, you can easily shift into one, shift out of the other, you know, as seasons ebb and flow. So that's just a huge encouragement we give to young women. Just think ahead and plan ahead. Some young women say, I don't ever want to get married. I don't ever want to have kids. You give it a decade. That biological clock starts ticking, that natural inclination that God has given women, you know, to want to nurture life and produce life. For many women, that kicks in unexpectedly. And now they're going, wow, I didn't even think about this or plan for this. So plan ahead. That's just our biggest message to young women.
And when you guys have reached out and you've helped them walk through that idea, have they been grateful? Has it helped? And you've talked to people that they've actually taken your advice?
Yes, yes. We actually got an email from one woman who we knew her from a friend. And she said, you know, I was working full time. I had full time childcare for my baby. And I read some of your stuff. I heard an episode you had on your podcast. And I went home to my husband and I said, my priorities have been all backwards for their family. You know, everyone has, you know, they're going to have to figure out what works for them. But she said, my priorities have been all backwards. She's like, I know that God wants me to be home with my baby, raising my kids. So she said, I told my husband right then, how can we make this work financially? What can we change? Let's make sacrifices. And they completely revamped their entire way their family had been operating and made sacrifices, chose to live on less so that she could be home with her baby, spending more time with her and actually able to raise her. And I know that's not possible for every single family, but I think it is for more families than they realize, that we just take a step back and say, where have my priorities been? How can I value this role, not view it then less than, not view the paycheck as the only thing that makes something successful, but recognize that God has made men and women differently. And the way that we fulfill those roles within the family is a beautiful thing, a complementary thing, but it's going to be played out in different ways.
That's so good. What do you say to the women? It feels like, and again, I'm not in your world like you guys are. I'm not talking to very many women, but at least it seems like I hear some women say, I love working. I love what I'm doing.
Yeah,
I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I have daycare, whatever. Again, I don't know. There's all kinds of scenarios, but they feel like they're thriving in that world.
Yeah.
Is that a bad thing?
Like I said before, God has gifted us in so many ways as women. I love a checklist and to-dos, and I love having a full plate full of great things that I'm working at. But something that I've had to really evaluate in my own heart and ask the question, is this the right season of life for me to pursue this certain thing outside the home using giftings that God has given me? Is this the right season for that? And so for women, it's not that you're saying, we're telling women, you need to give up all the things, that the ways God has gifted you and the degrees you've pursued, but you might consider putting those a little bit on the back burner for a time. If you have young children in the home and somebody else is, you know, spending 8, 9, 10 hours a day watching them and you're unable to be with them, to disciple them, to nurture those relationships as their mom, you might want to reconsider, is this the season for me to be more at home? And then when my kids are older, a season where I can go and pursue things outside the home in a more intentional way that I wasn't able to when they were younger. So it's not no forever your whole life. Yeah. It's just taking into account the various seasons and really asking the Lord, what would be faithful in this season?
And it's a moment of surrender.
Yeah.
To Jesus. I love ministry. I love impacting people with the gospel. I love working with women. And so I think our kids were 6, 9, and 11. And I decided, like, I'm going to start the women's ministry at our church.
Oh, wow.
And man, I was pumped about it. I'm like, I'm going to do this. And I think I did it for 2 years. I stopped when they were at those ages. So I think Cody was probably 4 when I started. I can't let it go. When I'm home with the kids, I'm still thinking about it. I'm still on the phone. I'm still grinding on it. And I was exhausted.
Yeah.
I was so tired when I got home. I had nothing left. And so I remember praying about it and saying that question, Lord, is this the season? Should I be doing this now or should I wait? And being really open, like, to what that means, even financially. And I decided to wait, and I'll never forget. I was putting our then 6-year-old, because I had stopped, and I put him to bed. He says, Mom, you've been home like every day, and you've been playing basketball with me every day.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, yeah, what do you think about that? And he hugged me. He goes, that is the best present you could have ever given me.
Oh, my goodness, that makes me want to cry.
I know. But it's, I look at that, and I think, I'm developing these little warriors for Jesus, and I was done. Like, they were out of the house when I was in my 40s still. And I've gotten to do all of those things that I wanted to do.
Yeah. Oh, that's so
precious.
What
are you thinking?
I remember a little smile.
I remember those days. And, you know, it was interesting because when she took over the women's ministry, it thrived. I remember watching her going, she's a better leader than I am. This ministry is blowing up in our church. And there were tens of thousands of people, but it was like, wow. So in one point, I'm like, wow, you're really good. Go. And then I, back then, you know, I'm not kidding. We had a phone with a cord.
I remember those. Yeah. I'm old enough to remember those.
And I remember the image in my mind of those that season was Anne on a phone, walking around the kitchen with a kid in her lap, making dinner, talking strategy with all these women, meetings in our home. It was thriving, but it was like, wow, she really is like singular focused.
Yeah.
And it was like, hey, you know, I'm multitasking. Right, it was sort of like, I've got three things going on. She was like,
the hundred things. She's spinning all the plates.
And so, I mean, looking back, and I do remember Cody saying that. It was like, she just.
I did cry.
It was a hard decision, but it was the right one.
For sure. And it's two really good things, right?
Right.
And I think that's the tension for us as women. Sometimes we're like, oh, this is a really good thing. This ministry, this job, I'm helping people. I am blessing people. I'm serving people. I am making people's lives better. But what's the trade-off? And that's what we have to ask. Is this really good thing? And then this calling to be a wife and a mom and do that in an intentional way to disciple and nurture those relationships. You know, you can't have it all at the same time. And that is another big lie of the feminist movements, is this idea that women can have it all, that we should have it all, that we should somehow be able to do everything in the home and everything in the workplace and manage all of it and have, you know, the same type of work as a man outside the home, but then somehow manage all of the chores, you know, the dishes, the laundry, the cooking,
getting
the
your Bible
schedules,
in, working
out. Yeah, you know, exactly. Not to mention, working out and getting your Bible in. These things that we value and that other relationships, church women we're trying to invest in, you know, all these things. But we are told, yes, you can have it all and you should have it all. But as you see the lives of women, in fact, there was a study done not too long ago. I can't remember the name of it. We talk about it in Made to Be She, but they basically said, despite 40 years of feminism, fighting for women's rights, fighting for women to have, you know, to be equal with men in every single way, and not in the sense of identity, but in the sense of equal jobs and equal time spent in the workforce, those sort of things. They said, despite 40 years of this, women are less happy now than they were before the feminist movement began. And they surveyed a bunch of women. So something isn't adding up. We're told we can have it all. We're told we should have it all. We're told happiness is found outside of the home and everything we do outside is going to be more valuable than inside, but somehow we're still trying to manage both. And women are burning out. They are exhausted. And I've even seen this, especially right now, there's this big movement amongst my generation, millennials, of women having side hustles. And I am all for side hustles. I think it's amazing that women are using their unique giftings to creatively work from their home and have small businesses and bring in extra income. But there's this pressure that I'm seeing on stay-at-home moms right now having to have a side hustle. Like, unless you have your side hustle going and you've got your influencer account on Instagram and you're making the money, then you're not enough. You know, even being a stay-at-home mom isn't enough unless you have your side hustle. And so I see these women working, hustling, trying to make this thing happen. And they're also burning out. But, you know, on paper, they're like, well, I'm a stay-at-home mom. But you're not actually, it's not just about staying home, right? And that's what we say. It's not just that you're physically home. It's that you're there emotionally, mentally, spiritually, that you're able to give to your family the things that your family needs in that season of life. And yes, there are things you can, other things you can do, but again, it's that balance. How much can I take on over here? Because something else is gonna have to give. And I think as women, we think we can do it all, but it's not working.
Something's slipping.
Something's given.
Yeah.
And it's the family. I've seen that in my own life. In fact, my sister and I just recently, very honestly, after we wrote Made to Be she and I were just talking like, you know, I wonder if now that each of us are in seasons of having young kids in the home, we weren't when we started Girl Defined, neither of us, she wasn't married and I didn't have kids. You know, I 10 years I didn't have kids just with my infertility struggles. And I was able to really pour into women and ministry and do so much outside of the home because just my husband and I, you know, I can cook him dinner. I can be there for him. It doesn't take that much time. But then when kids came on the scene for each of us, we've had to reevaluate how we do things, how we prioritize things, even in ministry, like you're saying, Anne, I can't run at the same level as I was before and still be there for my family in the way that I feel God is calling me to right now. So even she and I have pulled back a lot in our ministry work, outside ministry work, because the home is ministry as well, so that we can be more invested and more available for our kids. You mentioned the basketball.
My sons, 15 and 11, same thing. When I just go and spend time with them shooting, and it's always the sports, right? They, Mom, yes. come jump on the trampoline. Mom, yes. come play basketball. Mom, I'm like, I'm tired. But I'm like, but I want to work out, so I guess this is a good thing. But when you say yes to those little ones looking up at you, wanting to spend time with you, there is no greater gift in this world that you give them than that moment of saying yes and spending that time.
So
it is
true.
Precious, and you can't get it back.
This has been such a great conversation.
Even for me as a guy.
Really?
Oh, yeah. This has been awesome.
Again, the book is called Made to Be She, Reclaiming God's Plan for Fearless Femininity. And you can get the link in the show notes at familylifetoday.com.
You better get it. I'm just telling you.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported ministry of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.